In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Well, what happens is, at the end of celebrating Mass, I figure, you know, we should pray for healing, see what God wants to do. Only a couple of people want to be prayed with, and that's it. So I thought I was finished. This father comes up to me and brings this little young boy, I'd say 15. He says, my son has cornea problems. So I put my hands on his eyes and prayed in the name of Jesus that he would be healed. So what happened? I had him walk away and he could see me. I had him walk away some more and he could see me. I had him walk away even as far as that wall up there and he could see me, and the mother started to weep because he wasn't able to do that. That his eyes were healed. Amazing. That's totally amazing. That's totally amazing. I never fail to be amazed at these things. 2 weeks ago, I was with the Spanish people. I did 3 days. 1 day of healing and 2 days on the Eucharist, but I still prayed for healing the next 2 days, but very quickly, because the pastor didn't want it to be a healing service. But I did pray. I tell you some of the things that happened. There was a child with scoliosis. The spine was all twisted. I just put my hand on the person's spine, little curled spine, and I prayed that it would be straightened out in Jesus' name. I said, now touch your toes. And she touched her toes. And the mother stopped weeping. There was a man who had oxygen for years. And after we prayed with him, he took the oxygen off and started walking up and down the church and even running. Running as he could. He was a big man. And he's still without the oxygen. A woman who came in, who was on a walker, she sat in the front row. She was in agony. I went down. This was the second night. It wasn't even a healing service. I went down as I was praying for her back. Immediately she was healed. The next day she came in without a walker, walking up the stairs. It was hard for me to walk up the stairs because there were so many of them. Those are just some of the things that happen, you know. When you walk in the Spirit, you see things that other people don't see. We were in Trinidad. This little beautiful woman came up with a baby 1 year old. 1 year old. She was the most gorgeous little black baby I ever seen. She looked like a Dresden China doll. Beautiful baby. That's all I can say. Beautiful baby. So I said to the mother, what's the matter? She said, she doesn't walk. So I prayed over her legs. After I prayed over her legs, nothing happened. The woman said, it's not her legs, it's her hips. So I prayed over her hips, declaring in Jesus' name that the baby be healed. I gave it to the mother. She took a half a step. I prayed over her hips again, again and again and again. And she took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps. She was 1 year old that very day. Never walked anything. The mother starts crying. There were 3 old ladies that came up with canes. You want to know what? They left without canes. I had them jumping up and down, walking up and down the stairs. They said, I can't walk up and down. I said, yes, you can. Lord healed you. Let's see. They're walking up and down the stairs. We're in the Fatima Shrine, and there was a man who had a stroke. So at the end, we prayed for him that he would be unstroked. And we prayed that he walked straight. And by the end of our prayer, he was walking straight. And his son came to me at the end while I was walking away, or nearly walking away, and gave me the cane. And my father said, you can have this for a souvenir. You know, but when you walk in the Spirit, you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen. I have no idea what God wants to do next. But I'll be present. I want to be there. Because he's involved with this kind of stuff. I can't do this stuff. I have no ability to do this stuff. Listen, I got my own backache. That's why I'm sitting down. But the Lord knows how to do everything. You know, I've had people pray over me. And all they can do is pray over me, you know, because nobody can heal another person but Jesus. And so what happens? What happens is that the intervention of God comes about. The intervention of Jesus. The Holy Spirit steps in. Things begin to happen. I've been ripped off so many times that you wouldn't believe it. Many years ago, this person was sent to me, a drug addict. He stole from me over $1,000 worth of checks. Okay? $1,000. The stupid bank cashed them. He put my name in the memo, not even in the right place, and they cashed them. I called him on the phone. I said something like this. Brian, this is Father Tom. I gave you my heart, and you stepped on it, and you crushed it. I gave you my time. I gave you my love, and you had the nerve to steal from me. I'm just going to tell you this. The devil wants you dead, and you just better repent, because if you don't repent, they're going to find you one day in the gutter. I saw his mother 7 months later. He had a new life. On Holy Thursday, this young man came to me, drug addict. I said, this is my gift for the priesthood. He said, you know, you helped my brother. I said, who's your brother? And he told me, I said, oh yes, I paid his bills, about $1,000 worth of bills. My brother's on the right track. I'm on drugs. He told me to come to see you. So I have appointments with him, and I pray with him and pray with him, and the Lord touches him and touches him. But one day, when the secretary is at the bathroom, he sees my checkbook. Like only a thief would do a thing like this. He goes in the back of the checkbook. Like if I was going to steal, I go to the front of the checkbook. I don't know how to steal. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to steal. So he goes to the back of the check. He takes makes $3,000 worth of checks. Okay. As a result, call me up crying. I've been sober for 10 days. Now he's sober for 60 days, 70 days. I said, but you got to give me that money back, because that's part of your sobriety. It seems like when people steal from me, they get straight. But I can't turn them away, okay, because even though I'd like to turn them away, part of me, you know, I can't, because that's not what Jesus does. That's not what Jesus does. That's not what Jesus does. I know many people, many priests, many people that are involved with people have closed the doors because they're afraid they're going to be hurt and crushed and broken again because people have they've distanced themselves from them, they've abandoned them, they've cursed them, they've said bad things about them. I know that. I've had it all done to me. But you know what? I can't close the door, because if I close the door, that means I don't walk in the Spirit anymore. And then I won't see the things that God wants to do. And I won't be part of it. I won't be part of it. Oh, I'll read them in books, but they'll never happen in me. So keeping the door open is so important. Keeping the door open to people is so important. And the Lord asks us to invest in Himself, that He wants to make Himself known, that He wants to make Himself loved, that He wants to make Himself adored. not for his sake, but for ours. My last point is something very simple. It's the prayer that Jesus taught us. And we all know it ever so well, but we don't know it at all. When they asked Jesus to teach us to pray, he said, "Pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus taught his disciples to pray that the kingdom would come and that the will of God would be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he taught. He did not teach us that we would just have to go through life just hoping this wouldn't happen to us, but that the will of God would come on earth as it is in heaven, that the kingdom of God would come on earth as it is in heaven. And the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit, tells us that in Romans. And you know what? We are not in that kind of a habitat that we have the kingdom of God so present. Some people say the church is the kingdom of God. I don't think so. It might be the pregnant symbol of the kingdom of God, at least in places. But it's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. Not in the politics of the church. Not in the politics of men and women. It's in the Holy Spirit. It's joy and peace and justice in the Holy Spirit. And let's go back to joy again. Where do we find joy? Where people are rejoicing and people are praising God. And people are lifting their hands and they're forgetting about themselves and they're concentrating on the Lord and they're worshiping Him. The kingdom of God comes in the Holy Spirit. And for as the Holy Spirit comes, the presence of God comes. As the presence of God comes, I tell you, He brings in the kingdom. We have no idea about the glory of the kingdom of God. We've tasted drops of it. We've had touches of it. We've prayed and we've smelled it even. We've smelled it in our church. On Pentecost, well, we were celebrating Pentecost Mass. During the whole Mass, there was wood burning, and I thought someone was lighting a fire. There was no fire around. And people say, "Did you smell that during Mass, wood burning?" I said, "Of course I did. But there's nobody burning wood around here. Where did it come from?" It's Pentecost. One Sunday we're celebrating Mass, the smell came from heaven of Concord grapes. We've got no Concord grapes growing in where we live. And I'm raising my hand, how many people smell Concord grapes? The pale hand goes up. At other times, we start praising God and we smell apples. Apples! Why apples? Because it tells us in the Book of Solomon, the Song of Solomon, "My beloved is like an apple tree, and I sit beneath the apple tree." My Lord. We've sensed the presence of God, but only drops of it. I want it to pour down rain. We need rain. We need the downpours, okay? We don't only need drops of the presence of God. We need downpours in the society that we're living in today. Downpours. Because the whole world has gone nuts. We have an administration in the White House that's completely cuckoo. Whether you like it or not, it's cuckoo. He's just appointed two fervent Muslims in the security system. Isn't that beautiful? With that Italian lady, what's her name? What's her name? What is it? What is it? Napolitano. I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed that she's an Italian. She doesn't know any more about security than I do. I keep my doors open at night. But at least I don't say that I know things about security. She knows nothing about security. She's just appointed two fervent Muslim people. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. They're going to go put a mosque in ground zero. That's what they want to do next. As a monument to what they did. Please. 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 We lost 3,000 people there. What about those families? Things are nuts. Things are crazy. Unemployment's 10%. Banks won't lend money to people. They're all holding on to it. People don't know what to do. Food stamps are up. Now we've got the big deluge of oil. Please. God's trying to tell us something. Nobody's listening. Nobody's listening. Trying to tell us I have graced this country like I have graced no other country. Do you know that this country is the only country other than Israel that's a covenanted country? Do you know that our founding fathers covenanted this country to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that this country is a blood covenanted country? It was covenanted to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ by our founding fathers. There's only one other covenanted country, it's Israel. Do you know that God takes covenants very seriously? Do you know that? That when he makes a covenant, he makes it very serious about the covenants he makes. That I will be your people and you will be my God. Do you also know that the devil knows history? He says, I'll show you people. You're a covenanted country. I'm going to start destroying where it all began. Where did it all begin? In Boston. You know what I'm going to do in Boston? I'm going to send the planes out to hit the Twin Towers. I'm going to let people live in Watertown that are going to go to Times Square to try to bomb. I'm going to take the creche off of the green in Lexington, the cradle of freedom. I'm going to expose the church in Boston. It'll be the poster boy for the whole world to see. Devil knows history. What began in faith, I want to end in destruction, the devil says. What began in truth, I want it to end in error. Boston noted for its universities. At one time, Harvard, Boston College, Boston University, Tufts, most of them were theological colleges. You know what they teach now? Humanism. Socialism. Communism. Please. You think the devil's stupid, but I'll tell you who is stupid. The people of God are stupid because we can't put two and two together. We can't put two and two together and come before the Lord and say, God, what we've done, we're sorry. We're just ready for you to show us what to do next, and we'll do anything you say. We repent of our sin because you know what, God? There's someone trying to destroy our country. Someone trying to destroy our children. Do you want to know what? If there was no abortion, there would be no job problem because we would have had at least 60 million other people. You want to know why Social Security is drying up? Because we've killed our children. We think we're going to get away with things, you know. And again, thank God for forgiveness. Thank God that the Lord forgives those who have had abortions. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that's more powerful than sin, no matter what the sin is. But in this country, you know, we have seen the destruction of children. Got a call yesterday. My sister is dying. She's not in pain. They're giving her morphine to kick her over the edge. I said, stop them. I can't, my sister, my other sister is the one who has control. And she said, let them do it. They're killing this lady. Do you understand that? They're killing this lady. Dr. Kevorkian is well, living in hospitals. Do you know how else they do things? When you're sick, they say, you know what, we're not going to give them any water, and we're not going to feed them anymore. Goodbye. Have a nice day. These things happen. No one says anything about it. The Holy Father said it is a culture of death. And there's only one thing that can turn it around, and that's the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit. A repentant people. Nothing else is going to turn it around. Not our meetings, not my healing services, until God's people come together and say, no more! No more! For the sake of our children, no more! And if we have to fight, we'll fight. Because we're in a battle. And the battle, my friends, is for your souls and for your children's souls and for my soul. That's the battle. It's the battle between the Lord and Satan himself, and we're the battlefield. And I want to tell you right now, the church is losing at this point because she does not know the power of the resurrection. She does not know what it means to live in the Spirit as St. Paul did and the early apostles. She does not know that. Most of the church men, Catholic and Protestant, they have no idea of the realm of the invisible, even though we say we believe in the visible and the invisible. They have no idea of the invisible dark schemes that are taking place in high places to destroy God's people and God's church and this country. But I know someone who won the victory. Name is Jesus. And I know he's looking for a ragtag army. They're going to pray and worship. They're going to look to him. They're going to be willing to do anything he wants them to do. That's what he's looking for. And I know he can use a ragtag army. But who is willing to rejoice when they see the water in front of them and the Egyptians in back of them? When they have no job and the bill collectors are at their door, who is willing to rejoice? For where there is rejoicing, there is the Spirit. And Mary said, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. Henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. Our Blessed Mother rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. On the day of Pentecost, they were together in one accord with Mary, the Mother of Jesus, and they were rejoicing when the Spirit of God came. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice.
I thank you for listening to In Season and Out of Season. I want to remind you of our Glory Revival, our Revival Glory at the Holy Rosary in Winthrop between July 18th and July 22nd. July 18th and July 22nd. There will be evening sessions and morning sessions. The evening session will go from 7 to 11. That's every day. That's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The morning session will go from 10 to 2. 10 to 2. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And it's $50 for the whole 5 days. And if you can't afford 50, you do whatever you can. But this is where you mail your checks to. Make it out to Holy Rosary. And the mailing address is Father Tom, care of Holy Rosary, Winthrop, Mass. Father Tom, care of Holy Rosary, Winthrop, Mass, 02152. Father Tom, care of Holy Rosary, Winthrop, Mass, 02152. I also want to tell you that I need to hear from you during these summer days so that we can get these bills paid. And I'm very grateful to you and especially to the Lord for really giving us everything that we've needed. And the mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass, 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass, 02128. And don't forget, it'll be pouring rain because thunderstorms happen and rain on your head. And Jimmy the Roofer is the best. And his telephone number is, if you need a roof, and you know what? He won't give you a whole roof. It just needs a repair. He's into just being truthful. 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. That's Jimmy the Roofer. 617-519-0341. Pray for Father Tom. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.